Welcome to Game Study Hall. Hide your DS in a book and act like you're working.
It's Game Study Hall.
So I've been playing FTL a lot again.
I thought you did that like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, now 3 weeks later I'm doing it again. It's making me angry because I like it. It's a good game. But each session's just too long. Right, like, you can go upwards of like 40 minutes, and I consistently win the first 20 to 25 minutes of it. So every single time I'm playing 20 minutes just to see, just to get to the point where it becomes, like, actually interesting.
Yeah, so there's a... I really don't like that in games where there's basically, like, some amount of time of busy work before the challenge.
Yeah.
Like, there was a level in Sonic Generations where the first 37 seconds, you're just kind of snowboarding. And it's like you're just snowboarding down like a straight area. So as long as you hold boost, you'll go as fast as possible. And you have infinite boost in that section, basically. So it's really just like, oh, you're trying to speedrun this level? Well, guess what? 35 seconds are added to every attempt. Oh, you made a mistake at the 45-second mark? You lost 45 seconds instead of normally losing 10 seconds to restart.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've quit games over stuff like that. I think I've talked about it on a past episode. The Assassin's Creed had all these like time trials and stuff in like I think
the third
installment.
It didn't have like a quick restart though.
No, it was like 10 seconds to restart. Uh-huh. You would, if like, so you messed up and something, you know, it's a speed run. You mess up in the first like 1 second. You have to press start, go into the menu, quit the game, and then we'd say, "Now quitting the Animus," and then you'd have to go back in and be like, "Now entering the Animus." So it was like, just like it's over and over again.
It's like the loading screens in Sonic 2006.
I mean, I'd rather have a loading screen than this, like, vague setup of, like, oh, you know, you're going in, you're going out, you're doing a thing. Like, just
isn't like a loading screen. This is like 9 or 10 seconds of loading, flashes one thing, 9 or 10 seconds of loading, back to start, 9 or 10 seconds of loading. Would you like to start the trial? Yes. 9 or 10 seconds of loading, it starts.
Right, but see, the problem with that is not the loading. The problem is that they didn't make it so that you could just restart.
Quick restart,
from right, just like single button, you know, like playing Devil Daggers. You just hit R, it immediately restarts at the very beginning. Although even that, like the first 40 seconds just kind of becomes the same thing over and over again. I don't know. I'm complaining about like the thing that I sort of like, which is the beating your head against the wall. I don't like the pieces that aren't actually the challenge, and it makes me really frustrated because there's very few games that even have a semblance of that, like, trial and error and just constant repetition. So you're kind of like forced to play the ones that aren't very good, like Dark Souls. Dark Souls isn't very good, but it's one of the only games like it, so you're kind of stuck.
You know, it's funny, right? I own Dark Souls. Someone gifted it to me on Steam. Never actually played it.
It's incredibly obtuse. It's definitely very difficult to get into in the beginning. There is a lot of stuff that is very interesting and fun about it.
People told me it's like a really good game.
There are a lot of very good things in it. I would actually say it's a bad game. If you, like, by the book, I would say it's a bad game. But I think there's enough really interesting things in it that it's very enjoyable. The things in it that are quality are totally worth it. But overall, there's bosses are very difficult and they're like a fun challenge. The checkpoints aren't right outside the bosses, so that gets frustrating.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Like, that's basically just you need to replay parts of the level when you die.
Right, just over and over again. And what people constantly tell me is like, oh, you know, that's part of the boss. Like, well, no, it's not, because that's just challenging to see whether or not I get so annoyed that I make a mistake. Not if I I don't mess up. I just get so frustrated that I, like, try to skip some enemies and then get punished for it because I don't want to fight the same skeleton 19 times.
Never skip enemies. Haven't you ever played a game where it lets you skip enemies? It's a trap. Never skip enemies.
Well, Dark Souls has this thing where when you die, you drop all... Everything you kill gives you currency. When you die, all your currency drops to where you died. If you die again without picking it up, you lose all of it.
Yeah, Shovel Knight basically copied that from Dark Souls, but it's not nearly as punishing. When you die, you lose 25% of your money, and it just kind of floats there with little, like, angel wings and a sack of money. Like, you know, it looks cartoony, because, you know, it's a cartoony game. And then, you know, if you die before making it back to your money, then you just lose that money.
Well, so Shovel Knight's a linear game is a little different, right? Because you're going to keep going forward.
Eventually you'll get back up to your money. Like, it's not like you'd have to go out of your way to get it.
Well, and that's the thing in Dark Souls. You know, you fight a boss and you go, you know what? I'm not ready for this boss. Well, now all your souls are in that boss room. Which, you know, people are like, well, then don't fight the boss with souls. Then, just, like, you can't know if it's going to be a boss that you can or can't fight the first time around. But also, losing all your souls, because you can grind, losing all of your souls is nothing but a time sink. So there's no reason to actually delete them. It should just keep adding up, right?
This is a great grinding time sink kind of thing, and this is an issue I've seen in multiple games. In Bravely Default, right, it's like Final Fantasy V, you can turn off enemy encounters completely if you want. Like, in a dungeon, you can just turn off random encounters, or you can turn up the frequency of random encounters. And say, okay, that's kind of cool, like, cool game design. Do you know what the problem with that is?
You forget to turn it back on?
No, that's not a problem. It does say, hey, if you turn them off, you may not have the experience to fight bosses. The issue is, if you distill this down to, like, perfect min-maxing, some enemies are going to give you the best experience per minute, experience per hour, right? Like, the enemies you can start AoE one shot, and then, that's going to be the optimal enemies. Once you find out the optimal enemies and the optimal grind setup, you have no reason to actually, like, play the game as an RPG. You go to the grinding spot, you grind for 2 hours, and then you go turn off enemy encounters and go do all the storyline stuff. Then, until you've got to the point where, oh, the bosses are hard again, you go to the grind spot, and then you go back. You see what I mean?
Right, well, I mean, it's a fundamental flaw of a system where, you know, how much damage do I do, how much damage do I take, being the only, like, limiting factor. Right, like, at least, like, in Dark Souls, you can be, even if you do, like, a ton of damage and you don't take very much, if you just constantly mess up your rolls and your dodges and your blocks and all that stuff, you're still going to lose.
Yeah.
Also, Dark Souls cheats, so.
But part of another game that I saw that issue is, I guess, the Fire Emblem 3DS ones, especially Awakening, but also Fates. You know, you can get experience through, like, side missions and DLC and such. Not in Conquest. Conquest didn't have this, but, you know. So, rather than grind and fight during normal missions, normal chapters, you're better off just completing the chapters as quickly as possible. You know, get all any extra loot or, you know, rewards, which usually aren't even worth it until endgame. And everything you really want to get, you can just get in DLC and grinding anyways, so there's almost no reason to even bother with chests.
So just do it in the side, like, missions, and then not
you basically
risk
go grind in the side
people.
Missions and don't risk in the main missions, yes. It's just, it's... I feel like it's a design flaw. What they should do is make it so the experience, the rewards, the loot from the chapters are so overwhelmingly better than the side missions that's like, oh, I could go do the DLC mission 3 times, or I could go do the next chapter once. Next chapter once will be, like, equivalent to doing it 3 times. You know what I mean? I feel like that, like, 3-to-1's a good ratio, because at 2-to-1, you know, 2-to-1, you're still probably better off doing the DLC chapter, because if you do a chapter enough, you basically memorize.
But why not? You know what I mean? Why not take the whole thing out and then just have every, you know, each area just has its level, and then you go play it, and then you don't have to grind or do any of that nonsense.
Right, well, Fire Emblem's an RPG. It's about, like, your characters getting experience, leveling up, you know, seeing character growth.
Right, but you can give character growth without, like, XP numbers. It's just like, oh,
you can. Well, did you play Codename Steam?
Did I play what?
Codename Steam.
No, it's actually...
It's a trick question. You haven't played it because nobody played it. I was one of the 2 people that bought the game, basically.
Well, we talked about this in the past, and it's on my list of things to play. It's supposed to be very... From what you described, it sounded very good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a strategy RPG. And there's no, like, leveling up, though, or grinding. It's, like you said, like, kind of like... You know, as the game goes on, it gives you better characters, it gives you better weapons... But there's no, like, I can go kill and grind for leveling up. You know, Captain Archer, was that his name? I think his name's Archer. I don't even remember. Yeah, he has the same HP against the final boss that he does in the first dungeon, or well, first level.
I mean, it is fun to, like, you know, trick away to get levels and be like, oh man, I'm overpowered, but I feel like that wears off so quickly.
What do you mean wears off? Like, the fun wears off? Or
yeah, like the, you know, I mean, because I've definitely done this in the past where, like, you know, grind for an hour and then go fight and then you just go wreck face somewhere and then you're bored because there exists no challenge anymore.
Yeah, that's, I feel like I don't like the idea of being too strong, like, and that's actually something I wanted to avoid in GaiQuest, which is why I was very big on the game has to have a hard level cap. Like, you know, in an RPG or something, you can, like, keep leveling up, and even if you get to the final boss and it's too hard, you can go grind.
Yeah.
Yeah, in
right,
GaiQuest.
The level cap's 99, but the final boss is, like, level 62.
Yeah, exactly. GaiQuest, final boss is actually 62. Level cap is 60.
I mean, that's the way WoW is, right?
Yeah. 60 is a good number, too, just because it's evenly divisible by a bunch of stuff.
So is 100.
60 is evenly divisible by more than 100.
What? No, it's not.
60 is evenly divisible by more than 100.
Okay. 1, 2, 4.
3, 4, 5, 6,
so
10,
what, 60 gets 50. 12?
12, yeah.
12. Well, no, right, because so 60 is divisible by 12, 100 is not divisible by 12.
Yeah.
But 100 is divisible 60. By 20, 25, 50. Pretty sure
60 is also 20 and 50, and or 20 and 30, and 15.
Right, yeah. Is it the same number?
Whatever. Actually, it might be now that I think about it. The point is, I want to say it was ancient Mayans or Aztecs. They liked the numbers 60 and 180 and 360 because of how evenly divisible they were by a bunch of things.
Yeah, we went over this.
Yeah.
I still don't agree, because we have 10 fingers. And thus, base 10 makes us feel good.
I disagree.
Okay, well, So I was asking about HTML.
Nice, hypertext markup language.
Yeah.
It's just a fancy way to format text.
No, I know. I mean, I wasn't implying that it was, like, a programming language in that sense. It's just that, like, I hate it and it's boring. Like, I'm doing all this prep work for school, and there's a lot of, like, HTML, JavaScript, jQuery, like, CSS stuff, and it is so dumb. Like, I don't see the point in having to run something through three levels just to, I, like, want to move an object, I have to put HTML into it, give it CSS, and then call a JavaScript on it. Like, why couldn't I just...
Oh, on a web app?
Yeah, it's just dumb.
That's because originally internet browsers were meant to render static pages. They were just meant to have text on them, and then we tried to shoehorn programming into them.
Right, exactly, and it's dumb.
Like, yes, obviously, a setup that was made from the ground up for programming will be a lot more flexible than straight text, but, you know, it's kind of like the industry standard is never the best thing, it's whatever came first.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I can't complain about it. Yeah, so you wanted to talk about ARMS. I played the... There was, like, a free weekend or something, right?
Yes.
Do you own ARMS?
Yeah, I pre-ordered it. I assumed it was just going to be, like, Wii boxing, and it actually turned out to be a lot more fun. Like, Splatoon boxing.
You mean Splatoon?
Splatoon. Splat. Like, Splatoon, because they're cartoons.
Yeah, it's Spla.
Splat. So you're saying if something splats, you say it's splutz?
No, it's Splash. Splatoon. Splash.
It's Splat. Splatoon gets its name from the word splat.
Really, Nintendo says Splatoon, right?
They say Splatoon. Do I need to show you the commercial? The extended commercial? The one where they sing it? Splat.
So you pre-ordered it. I saw this at last E3. I was pretty excited about it because it seemed like
ARMS?
It would be... Yeah, ARMS.
ARMS wasn't shown at last E3.
Whatever they showed off the Switch, they showed off ARMS.
Like 2 months ago when the Switch came out?
What? No. Whenever they announced the Switch.
Actually, yeah, the Switch got its big thing. The big direct was in January. I think that's where they showed it off.
Maybe? What month are we in? Yeah,
we are
maybe.
In June.
I don't know. Point being, though, I got really excited about it because I like the idea of, like, a real-time Melee game that like uses physics and create, you know, like the idea of a fencing game.
It's not really a physics-y game. Like, it doesn't have a real physics-y feel. It's more of just a, like, a 3D fighting game, except, you know, boxing.
But there's a mode where you punch a volleyball.
Oh, yeah. There's those are all, like, the mini-games and everything. I'm just talking about the base game. Yes, obviously, there are the mini-games. There's the target punching. There's the volleyball.
And it's not a mini-game. It's one of the main modes that was on Roulette when it was on free weekend.
Oh. All right, well, I've been playing exclusively, like, online fighting, and then I did the single player, you know, campaign, also fighting. I'm all about the...
I thought it was well done and responsive, but I couldn't get it to feel right for me.
Were you using the motion controls, or were you using the buttons?
We're using the, whatchamacallit, the Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons? Yeah. Right, so the game has four control modes. There's single Joy-Con, you hold it sideways and use your buttons. There's the two Joy-Cons, you hold them vertically and use buttons. Two Joy-Cons, waggle, where you have to do the punch and the block, you know, like you're playing around with motion controls. And then there's Pro Control mode, which uses the basically same buttons as two Joy-Cons vertically, but using the Pro Controller.
Yeah, I used two Joy-Cons that, and also buttons, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, it was interesting. I was impressed with it, but I don't know. It didn't feel like I expected it to. Like the.
What character did you play as?
I think the blonde one.
Ribbon Girl.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh man, Ribbon Girl's so good. That's my main.
So, how many characters are there?
There are 10, maybe more. But if there's more, I haven't unlocked them.
What are the differences? Because I couldn't really tell.
So, they each kind of have their own special thing. Like, Ribbon Girl, she can do multiple double jumps in the air, and the double jumps reset every time she does an air dash / dodge, and the double jumps themselves also kind of double as a dodge. So you can jump, double jump, air dash, double jump, air dash, double jump, air dash, and kind of dance through the air, and then, you know, dodge attacks because of it. And then, like, the mummy guy, when he's shielding, he heals over time, and it, like, accelerates and stacks.
And that's, yeah, I wanna pull up a...
Those are the two characters I've actually been playing as. I haven't really played as the other characters yet.
There are... S-tier with, is this Armika? What the fuck is this?
Oh, what? She's S-tier? I always assumed people just liked her for, like, waifu reasons.
So, Ribbon Girl, Min Min, and Ninjara are S tier.
Yes.
Is Ninjara good?
Yeah, he's the ninja. He, like, teleports around, does stuff, but I didn't.
Is this Tracer? Mechanica? So you're saying you only play with Ribbon Girl and who else?
The Mr. Mummy, or whatever his name is.
Master Mummy?
Yeah, Master Mummy.
A tier? You know, this doesn't really, like, tier lists don't really work with only three tiers.
There's only, like, 10 characters that they can only do so much.
I don't know, I feel like that's what, three tiers is really just good or bad, right?
It's good, neutral, bad.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like in that circumstance, it's really, the people in the middle are just good or bad. I mean, I guess these A tier could be, like, such a huge breakout that they're actually, like, insanely better. But, I guess, you know, that would just kind of mean they fucked up in character balance. I don't know, but my point being, though, I was really excited for... I guess I really wanted to attack specific targets. Like, oh, I'm going to punch for your, you know, like, left shoulder. I'm going to punch for your, you know, belly. I'm going to punch for your head.
No, that's way too deep for a Nintendo party game.
I mean, I don't think it's meant to be a party game.
What, you think it's meant to be like a fighting game?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is supposed to be like Splatoon level, like competitive.
I mean, I think Splatoon was initially intended to be a party game, and then they realized it had a competitive scene later.
I don't know. Well, I mean, Splatoon 2 is being designed to be competitive.
Definitely Splatoon 2, but consider the following. Splatoon 1, your like rating is saved locally on your save file. So like what people would do is they would back up their save file, do a ranked match online. They ranked up, great, they would save it. If they ranked down, they would restore their save so it wouldn't hurt their rank, and then they would just slowly grind rank that way.
But rank doesn't mean anything in the online game.
It does, because rank was for matchmaking, and it would also determine how much like experience you would earn for like leveling up and buying rewards, because you have to buy all the really expensive rewards in order to be good.
I mean, matchmaking is... I've never played a game with good matchmaking, so it's kind of irrelevant.
Well, it's also, too, like, the weapons. You had to buy weapons from the in-game shop, and you needed points from winning games in order to, like, get those weapons.
But wouldn't you get more points by logging
not taking
every,
the time to...
Yeah, like, just playing every match?
No, you basically got the most points from, like, winning at a high rank. It got to be, like, crazy exponential. So it's like, oh, as long as you're, like, win one rank at A rank, win one game at A rank, great, you just bought a new weapon. You know, win a game at B rank, it's, like, one-third of a weapon. Win a game at C rank, it's, like, one-tenth of a weapon. Win a game at D rank, it's gonna take a while.
That's a hilarious flaw, because the higher rank you are, the less you need those new weapons.
Yes, exactly.
And that's just a
the
bad
whole
system.
Yes, again, I do not think it was designed... It was not designed to be good. They did not think it through.
I don't think that result and their intention are related. Just because they did a bad job doesn't mean they didn't want to. But I mean, point being, like, I mean, do you feel like ARMS is competitive? Like, you know, because you played. I only played for a couple hours.
I too have only played for probably like 6 hours. I don't know. It's hard to say if it's competitive. I feel like I'm doing pretty well online.
So not competitive.
Oh, guy's doing well? Not that competitive.
No, I mean, if you've only played 6 hours and you're doing well online, it means it's not competitive, right? Because there should be people who... You should be running into a ton of people and playing, like, you know, dozens and dozens of hours.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I don't know. I didn't feel like there was a lot... I mean, I guess I didn't play it enough to really know if there is that depth to it, but I didn't feel like... I didn't feel like there could be. I didn't... have a lot of, like, options. Right? Like, it's, you know, it's punch or don't punch or block.
Yeah, well, it's basically you can add do in the like... right punch or left punch. You can change up your weapons. You can grab. You can dodge. You can block. And if you block, it charges up your next punch. Like, block for a few seconds.
Right, so, and it's the same level of complexity you can get, like, in a fighting game. So the, like, motion controls just make it... you know, even though they're good motion controls, just make it less consistent. Right.
I mean, I don't use the motion controls. I use the buttons exclusively.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
You can
play
R and L for right punch, left punch.
What was that?
I said R and L are right punch and left punch. Well, R, Z, L, Z are right punch, left punch. R and L are activate your, like, ultra. What else? Y is dash, X is jump. Control stick click is shield. Move with your control stick. And then control stick also aims your punches as you throw them. You can hook your punches, even though you pretty much always just point the control stick at the other guy, and then...
Oh, wait, you can target specific stuff?
I thought you can, like, target it. You can kind of, like, hook your punch. So you can have it hook upwards if they're in the air, hook to the right or left, depending on where they are. And then different, you know, different fists, or different,
situations.
Excuse me. Yeah, like, different, like, punch. You can unlock other characters, like... fists for your fists, so they can do things. At first I was worried, I thought it's like, oh my god, you have to, you know, it's like crazy RNG nonsense where you have to unlock every single fist for everyone, and then I realized, oh no, it's you unlock other people's fists for everyone, so that's not that hard. Like, it won't take that long to unlock everything.
So you do like, you're going to play it a bunch more?
I'm probably going to play it enough to unlock all the fists for everyone, just because, you know, I think it'll be a fun, like, party game, like, much like other games. Bring it out, set it down, hand someone one of the Joy-Cons, you take the other Joy-Con, you fist each other.
But there's, like, we played online, and not every match let you do, like, 2v2 or anything like that, so sometimes someone would just sit out. I don't know if that was just, like, a result of the free weekend or not.
Yeah, I've just been doing 1v1s.
It does support two-player. Is there two-player, like, main campaign, or is it just, like, online?
There's a single-player campaign. I didn't bother checking if there was a two-player campaign. I do know there is two-player online.
Yeah.
Actually, how would that work in a four-way match?
I mean, it splits the screen.
No, I mean, like, who are you targeting, though? Or is it just you try to, like, line yourself up so you're targeting forwards?
You mean, like, to not
like, in
1v1s,
basically...
Well, you can't target... you can toggle between who you want.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, in 1v1s, like, you're pretty much... You're always circle-strafing the other player.
Right, it's like a different beast when you're, I mean, same thing, like, if you ever play For Honor, and you get into those, like, 2v2s, it becomes a very, very different fight.
It's gonna be interesting. We're gonna have to play this.
I mean, I don't own it.
I do own it.
Right.
And I have multiple sets of controllers, so, you know.
Yeah, I'll get a Switch eventually. I mean, I almost bought one this weekend.
Shouldn't you be saving your money since you are fun employed?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I will.
I don't know, I feel like if you were going to waste your money, you'd be better off waiting until there's more on the Switch.
But there's Breath of the Wild, which is like the only thing I want. And that's like 100-something hours.
Yeah, that was months ago.
Yeah, and everyone's still playing it. I mean...
Okay.
Like, it's... Fine. Good, and it has, like, a lot of... I mean, it's easily 100 hours if I keep playing, you know, if I play it.
Yeah, but are you going to get bored with it after, like, 10?
Why would I get bored of it?
Because you get bored with all your games.
I've put, like, 160 hours into Dark Souls. And, like, Breath of the Wild is infinitely better than Dark Souls.
Alright.
I mean, I've played Breath of the Wild... Then.
Well, actually, played it.
I almost bought one this weekend, but I instead played Dark Souls and got angry because it's...
Actually, realistically, you should try to get one, because, like, it's probably going to be harder to get them.
No, it's not. That's not how supply and demand works.
No, I was going to say later in the year for holiday season, because that's when Mario's coming out, so, like, there probably are a lot of people that are saying, I'm going to wait for Mario. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that time when they're going to release more consoles to sell... Like, they want to sell consoles. They're not hard to get.
Oh, I know, but I think right now their factories are capped. I don't think Nintendo anticipated the demand for the Switch.
No, they always do, create artificial...
Now, the artificial scarcity is, like, the first month. You think right now the reason why the Switches are hard to find is because...
Switches aren't hard to find right now.
You know, when I've gone to the store, I haven't seen Switches. And I've checked. Because I've been curious, like, are they actually... sold out, or is this just, like, a meme?
I mean, I don't know, I checked Amazon and there's a ton of them.
I've heard Amazon sells out, or you buy it and then it shows up, like, a month later, because you're actually just buying the next one that comes into stock.
I don't think that's true, but, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Probably not, because they want to make money, and to make money you sell a thing, so you need to have that thing to sell it.
That is true.
Like, I was excited for ARMS, and I played it, and I was, like, a little... disappointed that it wasn't what I thought it would be. I'm actually a little concerned that, like, I just didn't understand it, and that's like, my own fault. But I don't know anyone who's playing it either.
I mean, it just came out on Friday, and I was busy a good part of the weekend.
I mean, yeah, but... I mean... I knew people who owned Switches who were as excited for it as I was. So if they're not playing it, you know...
Oh. I think it will make a fine addition to my collection.
All right, Indiana Jones. Or no.
General Grievous.
Is that... Right. Yeah. Right. Oh my god. That's...
Jeez, you belong in a museum.
The whole General Grievous thing never makes any sense to me. Why...
Like, his character?
No,
or...
like, why would you ever...
collect lightsabers?
In the manner that he does, but also, why would you use a lightsaber if you weren't...
A Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with lightsabers is, like, only Jedi are, you know, skilled enough to not accidentally cut off their arms.
No, it's because they're not a useful weapon.
Well, yeah, that too. Only Jedi can use them to, like, stop a bullet or stop a laser. No one else could react fast enough, and you'd be better off with a gun. Hence why guns are more prominent.
There are a bunch of non-Jedi who use lightsabers. But it's also, like, the crystals are rare, and it's just... like, Jedi use lightsabers because they make one as, like, a rite of passage as part of their, like...
training.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you build your lightsaber and it's a skill you hone, like, an understanding of your, like...
Yeah.
You know, I am my weapon thing or whatever.
Yeah, well, even Darth Vader says that in Episode 6, like, ah, I see you've reconstructed your lightsaber. Like, you know, the first one was handed to you, now you built your own, good for you.
And that's his, this is green one, right?
Yes, because Luke was going for, like, the neutral green color instead of the, I'm a, you know, lawful good, pure blue kind of thing. I don't remember what else, man. Maybe green's healer or something.
Green healer?
Like, the different, the lightsaber colors, like, represent different things.
I don't think,
like,
they
green
do.
In the, you know, now non-canonical expanded universe.
Well, no, because in the original canonical expanded universe, there were a ton of different people with random lightsaber colors.
Well, no, like, it's like Mace Windu. He had a purple one.
Right, and then
purple,
Plo Koon has a yellow one, right?
Yeah, but the reason why his was purple is because usually red is the dark side, blue's the light side, and, like, Mace Windu would tap into the power of the dark side.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that was his, like, whole shtick. Like, he would, like, use his anger, but he would try to use it justly, and it, you know, only a very, very strong Jedi could not give in to the evil, and that's what made him so strong as a lightsaber duelist. Like, Mace Windu was the best person with a lightsaber.
Should I use both light and dark side techniques with aggressive style? Is this canon?
Not anymore, it isn't.
Well, no, I'm looking at this image, but it's, like, it's not on Wikipedia, it's on just some random website. Jedi Sentinel who seeks and destroys the dark side, their activities are closer to espionage. They, like, this is stupid, though. If your color indicates, like, all this information...
Then wouldn't you not want to tell people the truth?
Yeah, like, you would never draw your...
Hey, he's got a red lightsaber. We know he's evil.
Yeah.
I swear, I'm on the level, guys.
So, okay, blue is justice and protection. Jedi guardians who fight for the light side and skilled lightsaber warriors. Green is peace through force when necessary. Jedi counselors who prefer negotiation and meditation to combat, but have strong force abilities.
So it's Luke.
Well, no, it was Anakin's lightsaber was blue.
Blue. Yes, I'm saying Luke, when he constructed his own, he went for green.
Yeah.
Now, if that was just because the prop department wanted to do a green lightsaber, and then they'd write, you know, a story for it later, or if that was
that is definitely true.
All of these things are, hey, we did this, now we need to come up with a reason why this is now canon.
It wasn't until the script was written for Empire that Vader was Luke's father. And, like, right... And Lucas
he had the idea.
Empire. No, he didn't. It was 100% the person who wrote Empire, who's not Lucas.
Well, I know originally, like, the Death Star was only going to show up in, like, Episode 6, and they decided, no, let's compress this down to one movie. Don't write your three-movie trilogy until the first movie does well, and that's why, like, the first movie had the Death Star.
Yeah, and the first movie's the only one that's, like, even watchable.
You know, when we were talking about Star Wars, you were going on about how the first movie wasn't good. Now you've changed your mind.
I said it's the only one that's watchable. I say it's good.
Well, let's not talk about how Star Wars is dead.
If anything, Star Wars is the best it's ever been.
I disagree.
You mean because they're taking all the good stuff from the extended universe and getting rid of all the bad stuff?
Yes.
So why do you disagree? Like, your complaint was about General Thrawn, and he's the next movie.
Is he guaranteed to be the next movie?
I mean, they're releasing all this content with General Thrawn. I assume they're about to make a movie about him. Otherwise, they're crazy.
Wait, I thought the next movie was going to be the, like, Han Solo origin story.
Yeah, Thrawn's the one after.
Oh.
Because he's in the cartoon, and he's showing up in a bunch of the video games. At least, I'm pretty sure he's the movie after Han Solo.
How would that work, though? Would it be, like, an episode 9?
No.
Or would it be one of the side stories?
It's like the Han Solo movie. It's like Rogue One. It's one of the side stories.
So what, they'll set up him and then they can bring him back for 10, 11, 12 later?
No, he won't be in the main arc.
Oh, you think it's just... Well, I guess a one-off's still better than nothing.
I mean, the main arc is bad. Like, the main arc was always bad.
What, you didn't like...
Episode 7?
I didn't see Episode 7.
And Episode 7 is... It just rebooted Star Wars for the modern era. And also, the main character's an asshole.
Which main character?
There's only one main character. It's the Finn, the troubled stormtrooper.
Oh.
And
I thought the main character was the woman.
No, she's just a I don't even know what her role is in that movie, but she's not the main character. Because she has no character arc, which by definition would make her not the main character.
No, I think you can have a main character without an arc, it's just not good.
Well, but Finn has an arc. And his arc is murder and lies. So.
Wasn't his arc he was a stormtrooper and he was jaded and then he decided to not be a stormtrooper?
No, he was kidnapped at a young age and indoctrinated, and then during his first mission, essentially, he doesn't go rogue, but he, like, decides, this isn't for me, breaks the prisoner that they captured out so that he can fly him out, you know, all, like, away from the Star Destroyer, because he doesn't want to be part of the Empire anymore. And then, on their way out, he murders a bunch of stormtroopers. You'd be like, oh yeah, stormtroopers, who cares? Go, well, no, it's just...
He was a stormtrooper, well, wouldn't that mean he's, like, killing his...
Well, so, like, A, he was a stormtrooper, so he probably knew a lot of them, but B, his character arc, he was indoctrinated from a young age, like, kidnapped, indoctrinated, and turned into a stormtrooper. So I can only assume all of those people around him also indoctrinated, so you're just murdering all of these...
People who are just, like, brainwashed and lost everything.
Yep.
I mean, consider the following. He's basically doing them a favor.
How?
Now they're not part of the Empire? I don't know.
The Empire... I mean, do you not want to be part of civilization? I like civilization.
Well, I've seen everyone knows the Empire was, like, you know, good guys, but...
Well, no, it's not that they're good guys. It's that the Rebels are the Rebels are just terrorists. The Empire is just a society.
The Founding Fathers were terrorists until they won.
And that's how terrorism works.
Yeah.
That's how you're war terrorist. Works.
You're a terrorist until you've won.
Yeah, right? It's... I'm not... disputing that.
It is funny when you think about it, really. Like,
winners write history?
Yeah, not just that, too, but, like, you know, you look at, like, how much everything, oh, terrorists bad, and it's like, technically the Founding Fathers were terrorists.
Well, it's because terrorism is a made-up word to dehumanize the people you're fighting against.
Yeah. I wonder if the British called the rebels terrorists.
I don't think terrorism was a word then, but they essentially considered them what we consider a terrorist, because they're a group of people who are, you know, they're an insurgent force that are behaving to your eyes illegally.
Yeah.
But thus is all conflict, right? Like, you know, people who are not, I mean,
it's
anyone willing to use force against your point of view is always going to be evil to you.
I was thinking too now, like, in the UK, it wasn't called the American Revolution, it was called the War of American Independence. Like, that's what they call it.
They call it now, right?
Yeah, they call it the War of American Independence.
Right, but at the time...
Well, at the time, it was just, yeah, it's a rebellion that they had to quash.
Yeah, like, I mean, insurgency,
yeah.
Which I think is also a modern term.
Actually, in the South, do they still call it the War of Northern Aggression? Or do they call it the Civil War?
Pretty sure modern America calls it the Civil War.
But, like, if you went down South and you used the term the War of Northern Aggression, what do you think? Like, do you think people would agree? Like, what percentage of people would still use that term?
0%?
You think 0? Really?
Yeah.
It can't possibly be 0, because that's still, like, a known phrase. I feel like once it's 0, within a generation, no one would know it anymore. And I know it just passively from, like, hearing it around.
Yeah, but who would use it? I mean, no one is, like...
I posit that if I went to a convenience store and I used the phrase, the War of Northern Aggression...
I mean, like, everyone knows what that means. It doesn't mean they would use it.
Maybe I should start using that to refer to the Civil War. Just bring it back.
I don't recommend that. In fact, I think it's probably a really bad idea. The worst.
Yeah, because it has connotations. Yeah, it's not like a normal old timey phrase like "let's cheese it." It's an old timey phrase with.
We should bring back "let's cheese it."
I use "let's cheese it" all the time. I've been doing it for years, so Zach, people have questioned me on it. It's like, what do you mean? Let's cheese it. I'm like, I use this all the time. What are you talking about?
Or it's just a thing I say.
Yeah. Have you never heard of let's cheese it?
I do like, I've been trying to use Slam Jam as like a phrase.
From Space Jam?
No, just like, oh man, this is real Slam Jam. I don't think, I think they use a phrase like that in Space Jam. I just like the idea of a... This is like a real, you know, like quagmire, a slam jam. I don't know, I just like insane words that obviously don't make any sense.
I mean, let's cheese it makes sense.
What is the origination of, like, let's cheese it?
Like, why is it let's cheese it? Or yeah, I mean, does it mean?
What is it referencing? Or, like, all, you know, all these, like, weird idiomatics refer to something like...
So it's from the early 1900s, so maybe it has something to do with, like bootlegging and prohibition.
Where's the cheese coming to play?
Well, right, so, wine and cheese parties.
What?
Perhaps it was something like... You've heard of a wine and cheese party, right?
To scramble as if you just robbed a bank. Oh, that's okay. Right, they used it in Futurama. Right, so, like, the phrase, he's all wet, to describe someone who's lying... The origination of that is the phrase doesn't hold water. So if you don't hold water, you'd be wet.
It doesn't hold water. He's all wet. Like that.
Yeah. The exclamation cheese, often written G's, is definitely a euphemism for Jesus, but the word in the sense you give isn't from the source. Cheese it means either to be silent when you cheese it, I don't want to hear it, or to stop what you're doing for simply something illegal or inappropriate to run away. The expression is now virtually defunct, but turns up often in older writing. British slang later taken turns up...
Defunct? I use it all the time.
This is saying that it might have something to do with that cheese would often be the last item in a meal. So you're, like, skipping the cheese. So, like, get
or
out of there.
Or let's cheese it. Let's jump right to the last item, the cheese, and then...
Yeah. Or that, like, you're skipping the
cheese.
Actually,
that would make no sense.
Like,
let's jump right to the last item. Last item is the escape.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Is cheese often the last... things served?
So, obviously many, many cultures are different.
Well, yeah, but England,
I believe in Italian-style culture, coffee is the last thing served, but perhaps in English-style, like, multi-course meals, cheese is the last one served. I don't know.
I could see that, because you would... I don't know. I don't know enough about food.
You cleanse your palate with something that'll leave it, not a bad aftertaste, but, like, bad breath in your mouth.
Well, no, I mean, you have it with wine, right?
Yeah. Oh, I could see that. You'd end the meal with a glass of wine to relax.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting when you consider that. Like, you would end the meal with something to wind down, whereas in Italian culture, you end the meal with coffee because you've just ate a lot and you're going to be sluggish if you don't get some caffeine in you. It's like different cultures' approaches to eating.
I mean, I imagine it also have a lot to do with what types of food are, like, regional. Speaking of the origins of words that we don't know anymore... I'm really curious where the origin of disliking puns is.
I think that's a modern-day meme.
Right, but I mean, it's definitely a modern-day, like, meme, but what is the origination of that?
Honestly? I don't see why you... Like, there's no legitimate reason to hate a pun.
I think
it's just clever wordplay.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect it's from someone who isn't good at puns and thus annoyed that, like, they can't participate.
Like, oh... Puns are stupid. You're stupid if you think of this.
Well, I mean, no, puns are kind of like the highest form of comedy in a lot of ways, because they require not only the comedic sense, but also a very good understanding of the language.
Yeah, like they're a deeper form of comedy, I would say. Like, because you need to, again, it's the language. You need to have a wide vocabulary. You need to know things that are similar. You need to know meanings.
Right, but there's also, like... You know, there's a fine line between a pun and just, like, a misunderstanding. It's like, being able to nail that down is impressive. Especially if you do
also
it in, like,
I think the definition of pun has kind of, like, gotten kind of loose. Kind of like the definition of irony. A lot of times what people use are puns these days are actually portmanteaus. But,
Is it portmanteau?
Maybe. I don't even know the pronunciation of it. Because it's basically never used anymore because people just call them puns.
Oh, it is toe. Portmanteau. Oh, no, it's portmanteau. P-O-R-T-M-A-N-T-E-A-U. It is not either of the things I thought it was.
The point is...
A large suitcase. Or a word or morpheme whose form and meaning are derived from a blending of two more distinct forms, such as smog from smoke and fog. So, like, Splatoon would be a portmanteau.
Yes. But if you were to call it a pun, everyone would know exactly what you meant.
But it's not a pun.
But exactly. It's like how the word irony is, you know, has a very specific definition. But if you say, that's ironic, no one will
question it. There's a whole
Futurama
episode about it.
I thought there was just a one-off joke in there, but okay.
I mean, it's been so long since I've watched Futurama.
It was from the Devil's Hands or Idle Playthings episode.
Yeah, I thought people kept calling things ironic.
No, it's like... In one part, like, someone says, that's ironic, and Bender's like, that's not the definition of irony, and then in the end, you know, the devil says something, and then Bender's like, that is the definition of irony, sing-songy.
I don't know. Well, because there's that whole thing with people misunderstanding the Alanis Morissette song, because that song is hilariously ironic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So there's an Alanis Morissette song called Irony, and she's lists off a bunch of things that are not ironic. The joke being that it's ironic that a song named Ironic would constantly misuse ironic. It's Games Turning Home.